Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
I want to take you into the ninth chapter of 1 Corinthians. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn there. We are learning from a first century Corinthian church how to be a 21st century full gospel church. Amen. Did somebody say amen? Praise the Lord, something? Somebody said something. This passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is rather interesting in the fact that Paul is speaking very personally. It seems that the letter that he received from the church at Corinth was not very nice. There are a number of places throughout 1 Corinthians where he gets a bit defensive. So it seems that the church was making accusations and that maybe they were just a little bit mean to Paul. Can you believe it? Can you believe that there would be meanness in the church? Okay, don't get too carried away. Duh, yeah. Look how Paul starts this. He says, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. I think it's pretty specific. There were some. Just imagine writing a letter to the apostle Paul, making accusations. Apparently they were saying, you're not really an apostle. Probably because he was not part of the Jerusalem bunch. He had not been one of the 12, and he wasn't Matthias, who had been chosen on the day of Pentecost. So they were saying, nah, 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 you're not really an apostle. Huh? How many of you have let enough people know that you're a Christian to the point that somebody said to you on some given day where maybe you were not modeling the fullness of Christianity, but they threw it in your face and they go, oh, so you're a Christian. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, it happens. What is the expectation that we are going to be perfect all the time? I love it when my sermons get thrown back at me. That's always fun. My family members. It happens. Get into the emotion of this. If you've gone through that, you kind of know where Paul was at. Now, keep in mind that he went to Corinth and birthed that church, and these folks were all saved under his ministry. That's the reason why he says, you know, others, even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. In other words, it was among you that the miracles took place. It was among you that the power of God fell. The church started as a result of my being with you. He's rather defensive in this point. And yet, as he moves on down through this passage, he brings out some very good things, not just for his life, but also for the 21st century church, which is us. Paul begins this in verses 1 to 18, and I'm going to read it here in just a moment. And I want you to listen to, he establishes his authority by establishing who he is in Christ. How many of you realize this morning that we have authority? Huh? I think, and this is not a criticism, but rather an opportunity, and that is we live way below what God has ordained and what Jesus purchased for us to be. Way below. There is a place of living, and there's a place of authority that the Lord has placed upon all of us who are believing. These signs shall follow them that believe. And then the list. In my name you shall cast out demons, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, speak in new tongues. There's an expectation, I believe, in heaven that when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and we become part of His kingdom, that we would be men and women of incredible authority and position as we live and walk in the Lord. Hallelujah. Can we right here in the beginning establish the fact that we live below the capabilities of a believer? How many can agree with me on that? All right. We're going to walk through this and read through this. And as we do, I want you to kind of get a hold of it. He says, this is my defense to those who set in judgment on me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas? Or is it only I and Barnabas who must work for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk? Do I say this merely from a human point of view? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. Is it about oxen that God's concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us because when the plowman plows and the thresher threshes, they ought to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple? And those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. But I've not used any of these rights. And I am not writing this in the hope that you will do such things for me. I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of this boast. Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel I may offer it free of charge, and so not make use of my rights in preaching it. Let me pause there. He establishes there in verses 1 to 6 his apostolic authority. But then he goes to, in verses 7 to 14, he talks about his right to provisions from the gospel. Now, you know, we live in a time here in the 21st century where there's so many abuses of this privilege that it's formed a bad taste in many people's mouths. But there is a God-given reality that is in here that those who preach the gospel should make their living from the gospel. Now, I have been in both situations where I was full-time in ministry and the church was meeting my family's needs. And then I've also been in situations where I was bivocational and I was working a separate job and pastoring a church. So as I say this, I'm not being critical of those who are bivocational. There are many small churches that the amount that they get in, even if they are sharing with their pastor, is not sufficient to meet all of the needs. But I think it's important for us to realize here, the Apostle Paul is stating a right, if you will, a right of provision for those who are sharing the gospel. Now, you can singularly make the application to those of us who are, if you want to put it in this way, career ministry. But the application actually extends to all those who preach the gospel, who share the gospel. The benefits, and we don't talk about evangelism enough in this way. As we, each and every one of us, share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be able to reap, if you will, out of that harvest. There are blessings that come in sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you hear that? You know, I know that the enemy of our soul wants to tell us it's nothing but hard and embarrassing to tell people about Jesus or to tell them that Jesus died upon the cross for their sins. All we can think about in our minds, because the enemy has worked this such, all that we can think about is, oh my goodness, they're going to reject me. Oh my goodness, they're going to come against me. Oh my goodness, they're going to throw my life in my face. Come on. Or, what if they ask me a question? I'm not sure that I'll have the answer. You know, all of these things hinder us and slow us down or stop us from preaching the gospel as we have been called to do. It is our commission as believers to go into all the world and preach the gospel. How many have read that? Okay. So, you know, we are commissioned to do that. It's actually the only thing that the Lord actually told us to do, was to go and make disciples of all men. So isn't it natural that the enemy of our soul, if he was going to pick one thing to really quell in us, it would be that one thing? You know, you feel in your heart, I need to talk to that person. I need to talk to my friend that I work with. I need to tell them about Jesus. They're so hopeless. And then what rises up within you? Oh man, sure as you do, she's gonna throw it in your face. They're gonna reject you. What, they won't talk to you anymore. They will ostracize you. You will not be able to work in that place anymore. Come on. Anybody ever hear those voices? Come on, be honest. Anybody? No, you're all saints, right? Okay, here we go. But see, what I want you to realize is that the Lord has provisioned. Now, don't look at everything just in a monetary standpoint. Okay? When he says, when he makes this freedom, if you will, that those who preach the gospel should make their living from the gospel, don't just make it about money. There are incredible blessings that come out of sowing the seeds of faith. Now, until you actually experience this, it's just me with a bunch of hot air. But if you will ever allow the Lord to use you in spreading the gospel, greater than any monetary blessing that I have ever received for preaching the gospel is the incredible joy that I have received as I share the gospel with someone and then watch their life be transformed. Sometimes it even has added benefit back to my life, not because I was a preacher, but because I was sharing the gospel. It's incredible, folks. Living the life of a believer has incredible benefit. You know, what I'm trying to say to you this morning is, push aside all the nonsense and all the garbage that the enemy has put up as obstacles to sharing your faith, and realize that what God has, He's not just asking you to share the gospel. He is saying, come in to this well of incredible blessing. You see, when you share the gospel, you never know what resource that you are opening before yourself. I've seen people who have led individuals to the Lord, and that individual ended up helping them to get a position, a job, if you will, and change their life. I have seen individuals who have shared their faith and seen somebody changed in their life and shake a whole community. It's amazing. Now, if all you're looking for is money, then it may not always come in that form. Okay? But if you're looking for how God can bless you, I want to tell you that there are blessings attached to sharing the gospel. I mean, if nothing else, if you share the gospel with someone and they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, and from that point forward, you can be just like Paul. Paul stood in such incredible confidence with the Corinthian church and said, if there's anybody who should recognize me as apostle, it would be you. Why? Because he had led them to Jesus. In other words, you and I, no matter our age, become spiritual parents to those that we lead to the Lord Jesus. Now, how many realize there's a lot of benefit in being a parent? Huh? Come on, let me see your hands. Sharon and I almost didn't become parents. We were 5 years married, and with every passing year, we were getting more selfish. It was the grace of God that brought our first son along. No? Because then we realized the joy, the incredible joy of being parents. And you know, I was trying to think, because I knew where I was heading for this morning. I was trying to think, I don't think any of my three kids have ever been financially beneficial to me. Huh? So see, it's not just about finances. But the fact that I have become their dad gives me incredible benefit and blessing. You know, my boys, one is in Dallas, Texas, and the other boy is turned 40 this month. Can you believe it? Sharon is getting up there. Don't run out of here and say that. I know some of you just can't wait to get out there and tell her I said that. Oh, there she is, hiding behind the pole. Hi, honey. Pay for that one. Now, come on, folks. Now, just think about the benefit that you receive. The benefit in blessing. The benefit in just the knowledge that you have brought a child into the world. Can I get at least a nod? Is anybody you're glad to be a parent this morning? Huh? Well, see, apply that then. Just that and that alone, if you can understand the joy that you have of being a parent in the flesh, imagine the joy that can come. The Apostle Paul did not have a lot of possessions in this world. His possessions were the people that he won to the Lord. His joy, when you read to the book of Philippians and you see his joy and his rejoicing, it all came out of those that he had led to the Lord. And when he saw God's blessing pour out on their life, it was just like God was blessing his life. You know, I love to see when someone gives their life to the Lord Jesus, when they're saved. You know, I'm thinking of a gal in Madison more than 30-some years ago. And she came in and she gave her heart to the Lord Jesus, just by herself. And then all of a sudden she brings her kids. And I had the joy of baptizing her kids. And then her husband came in reluctantly. She almost had to drag him in. And you know, he came in so reluctant, wanted to sit in the back, and he would not break through. And then I remember the Sunday where he came forward and he gave his life to the Lord Jesus. I mean, folks, let me tell you something. It just builds. And it builds. You see one member of a family saved, and then you watch as the Lord begins to save other family members, and you think, praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Look what you've done. Because I had the opportunity to share the gospel with the mom and now the kids and now the dad. And you know, a few years ago I was back in that church, and she and her family are all still there. They're pillars within the church, and she's a teacher and doing great ministry and everything. And I can't tell you, you know, my buttons are popping. Now, I didn't save her, but she's a spiritual child. And her children and her husband. Oh, my goodness, folks. I believe that the Lord is wanting that for us. That he's wanting to overcome here in the 21st century, overcome the lie of the enemy and help us to understand the authority, the liberty, the promise that we have been given. It's not just the work of saving souls. It is the opportunity for God to bless us in ways that we could never be blessed until we win a soul for him. I would love to ask you this morning, but I won't. It's not fair. But I'd love to ask how many of you have led at least one person to the Lord. And so you can identify. I realize within the body of Christ, there are too many of us who have never led a person to Jesus. Forgive just a little bit of a negativity here, but how come we're worthy of the gospel? Why are we worthy and they're not? The blessing of giving what you and I have received. Is there anybody in this house this morning that's thankful to be saved? Then shouldn't we be giving others that opportunity? Oh, see, this is the joy. This is the incredible. Now, I want to show you something here. In verse number 15, Paul speaks then about the uniqueness of his calling. And most of this is about financial resource, if you will, but he, as he said, being married is thrown into there and some other things. In verse number 15, he says, but I have not used any of these rights. In other words, he's talking about verse number 14, in the same way the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. And then Paul says, but I have not used any of these rights. Now let me underscore something for you. This was a choice that the Apostle Paul made. I do not believe that God said to him, Paul, you are going to be unique above everybody else. I don't want you to take any money. I believe he's very explicit here in saying, he says, I have not used any of these rights. Reading the other aspects of Paul's ministry here. He always, if credit is due to God, he gives God the credit. In other words, it would say, and God told me not to take anything from the ministry. It's not what he says. He says, I have not used any of these rights. I am not writing this in the hope that you will do such things for me. I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of this boast. It's all about him. And I don't think that in fact that he really speaks to the reasons why as much as simply he did not want anybody to say that they had supported his ministry. Now, let me put in just a little point here. And that is all those years that the Apostle Paul was in prison, in Ephesus and in Rome, he tells us that the church met his needs. Hello? It's just so you know. At this particular point in his ministry, he had worked as a tent maker and was meeting his own financial needs and his physical needs. But when he was put into prison, they didn't feed people in prison then. You had to have family members or friends bring food to you. And so the church took care of Paul while he was in the church, while he was in prison, both in Ephesus and also in Rome. So he was a recipient of these things later on in his ministry, but at this particular point, he had never taken any money or resources from the church. He says, what is my reward in verse 18? Just this, that in preaching the gospel I may offer it free of charge and so not make use of my rights in preaching it. He wanted, for his own benefit, to know that he did not receive any money for preaching the gospel. I believe that that went back to who he was before he was saved and before he was called. And he was setting aside that right. I made a choice in the churches that we pioneered. And that was that I stayed there until they had a new pastor. And at times it really made it very difficult both for me and for my family in the after part, because once the church had a new pastor, they didn't want me around. So then we had to scurry off and figure out where our next place of ministry would be. But that was my own heart, that was my own choice, that was my own willful act, if you will, because I did not want that church that I pioneered to be without a pastor or even a day. Paul probably hurt himself, if you will, in part of the choice that he made. Now, how's that relevant to all of us? Sometimes we make choices in regard to our Christian life that are our choices. We have the right to make those. But then we want to blame them on God. Okay? And this is where we need the distinction. Both Paul made it, and I'm trying to make it to you this morning. And that is, make a distinction between the choices that you make out of your own conviction and your own desires that may cause you hardship along the way versus what God has already provisioned and promised to do for you. The enemy likes to jump on these things. And if you keep them in the context of, well, God told me to. If I had a dollar for every time somebody told me that God told them to do something that was harmful to them, I would be a very rich man standing here. We like to do that as Christians, you know. We like to say that God led us into our hardships, when in fact it was a choice that we made in the journey. It's really quiet in here this morning. Have you noticed that? Everybody's kind of afraid to even breathe. Everybody just take a good breath. There we go. Okay. Paul goes on. In verse number 19, he tells us what he surrendered for ministry. And this is a powerful passage here on this Freedom Sunday. He says, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, as to win those under the law. To those not having the law I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law but under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessing. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. The prevailing truth here is that sometimes, well, maybe all the time, to share the gospel with other people, it's going to cost you something. Aha, I knew it. I'm not just talking about money. It can cost you some of your pride. It can cost you fame. I'm not talking about national fame. I'm talking about local fame. No, you can be super popular until you share the gospel with some folks, and then all of a sudden you're isolated. Paul says, I am willing, though I am free. I am free in the Lord Jesus. Nothing binds me. But he said, because of my desire to win people to the Lord, I will be whatever I need to be in order to preach the gospel to them. In other words, if I see that doing this, this, and this is going to mean that I don't get to minister to this group of people, he said, I won't do it anymore. Now, let me just get a little bit closer. You know, Christians today are experiencing so much freedom under the grace of the Lord. And they're sharing their freedom in pictures, color, on social networks. And I know for a fact that sharing of their freedom is confusing to individuals who are looking on, knowing that they said that they are Christians. You see, my friends, we need desperately to realize what our job is as Christians. Again, we have been given one task. The Lord Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullness. I have sent my Holy Spirit to empower you to do one thing. Be my witnesses. So if you would want to put it into this framework, if this adjusts well in your mind, the one thing that God expects of us in return for salvation is that we would tell other people about him. Now, come on, is that really so much to ask? I mean, if we have freedom from our sins, if we have the joy of everlasting life awaiting us, is it such a bad thing that God would say, here's what I require of you. Go into the world and tell them about what I've given to you and give them the opportunity to be forgiven and set free. Could you help me this morning? Is that such a bad thing? Now see, the thing is, in order to be able to do that, it may bend your and my freedom a bit. If my going to a show would keep somebody from believing that I, when I preach the gospel to them, is that show really worth their soul? Now see, you can go, well, they should not. Not. It doesn't fit. This isn't about what they may be lacking. Paul is teaching us, this is about what we are willing to surrender so that others can know Christ. See, that's the bottom line right here. He said, how much do you want other people to have the blessings of your salvation? If you really want them to have the blessing of the salvation experience that you have, then you probably will need to bend in some areas. He said, when I'm among the Jews, he said, I will be under the law. Whoa! I could share with you countless passages, almost entire books that he wrote about being free from the law. But you see, he was willing to bring himself under the weight. That's what he called it. The weight of the law itself. In other words, he would only walk so many miles or so many feet on a certain day. He would only eat certain foods. He would only dress in a certain way. Why? Because he did not want his actions to be responsible for keeping somebody from accepting Jesus as their Savior. Again, see, it's very easy for us to go, well, hey, no, that's their problem. They're not going to bind me up. They can't bind you up. You're free in the Lord. Hallelujah. But will you use that freedom to win souls? Or will you use that freedom to gratify your flesh and to do it your way? See, that becomes the question. It's not what is the worth of your soul, but what is the worth of someone else's soul? There is an inconvenience about this. There's a struggle about this. You know, I think about, do you remember Elijah and a man by the name of Naaman? He had leprosy. He was a man under authority, so he was sent to Judah by his king, found the prophet, had one of his servants go up and knock on the door. We heard that you can heal the leprosy. Huh? Remember the story? Elijah said, just tell him to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. And when the servant went back and told him, he goes, what? Aren't the rivers from where we came from, Arpad, and aren't they the better rivers? Aren't they greater than this little dirty, muddy thing that you call a river going down through this land? He said, how foolish, I can go dip in my rivers back home. Thankfully, he had a smart servant. Because his servant, after he finished railing on, he goes, psst. If he would have asked something really, really difficult of you, would you have done it? In other words, why don't you go ahead and give it a shot? And he did. And God did. And he was. Huh? He did go dip in the Jordan. And when he dipped in the Jordan seven times, he was healed of his leprosy. God answered that prayer. You know, that person that you have been praying over, that person that you would like to see come to know the Lord. Don't just pray. God, save them. Send Pastor Bill. Or send somebody. I'm so busy in my freedom, Lord, that they may not believe that I'm really a Christian, so send somebody. Huh? Or maybe you can dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Maybe you can be inconvenienced a little bit to see the miracle of the Lord. Maybe you can lay aside some of your freedom in this life in order to be the witness to the Jew, the Gentile, to the weak. You know, he said, to the weak I'll become weak. Whatever is possible, whatever I can do to win somebody to the Lord. Now see, I do not expect on this Sunday morning to be able to entice you with such positive and grand words to want to be a soul winner. But I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking inside of everybody who's truly a believer, calling us to do the one task that the Lord has given to us. I truly believe that. So as you're hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit within you calling, would you remember the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where Paul says, I'm free, but I'm willing to lay aside that freedom so that I could win as many as possible to the Lord. You see, you know what I want? Honest to goodness, I want to go into heaven and have an incredible number of people around me. You know, maybe the Lord will say, okay, I would like for everybody to go stand by the one who led them to this point. And when that happens, I want to just be engulfed with people. Now, you may have no interest in that whatsoever, but then you don't know heaven. Huh? Imagine if he said that and you're standing there by yourself. Well, Lord, I exercised my freedoms. Here I am. Aren't you proud of me? I don't know how many of you read enough of the Word that you read the little story about some talents. Huh? And then that statement that the Lord says, unto whom much is given. I see your lips moving, I can't hear you. Oh, one more time. Unto whom much is given. Could the Lord give us anything more than salvation of our souls, the forgiveness of our sins, and the hope of everlasting life? Let's close this morning, because there's one other piece there, and it goes right in with this. It's incredible. As you read the end of the book, he says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run? How many realize that? That in a race, a foot race, all the runners run. Profound, isn't it? But only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last. Therefore, Paul says, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Hallelujah. Look at it again. Run in such a way as to get the prize. You know what? Here's a guarantee. I know that I can make a statement here and every single hand in this room will go up. Pretty cool, isn't it? How many want to go to heaven? Huh? Yep. want to be there. Planning on it. Going to see my loved ones. Woo-hoo. Yeah. There's something going to take place. Can't tell you exactly what it is. There's something's going to take place. It's not just about crossing the finish line. It's about running the race to win. Win what? Win the prize. I believe part of the prize is to be able to take somebody with you when you go. I want to see you in heaven. You know that? I do. I want to see you in heaven. I'll do everything in my power. I'll pray. I'll do whatever I need to do because I want to see you in heaven. John, I'm counting on you to be there, brother. Yeah. Can't let anything get us sidetracked from the main thing, which is to cross the finish line into the arms of the Lord, having done what He's asked. Michael, good man, you're taking notes. That's cool. I want to see you there, brother. I want to see you there. It's not going to just happen, folks. We've got to press into this. You know, too many are just letting it happen. Saying, well, yeah, I'm saved, but I'm so busy in my life. What? We're so busy in the stuff of this world that we're going to leave behind. We're so busy that we don't have time to talk to anybody about Jesus. We're so consumed in this world that we're going to leave behind any day. Any moment of any day. We're so busy, we're so consumed, we're so engulfed that we do not have time to step in and do the one thing that the Lord asked of us, and that was to tell others of the reason of the hope that is within us. Now listen to me. I believe that somewhere along the line, we've got to get the prize before our eyes. We've got to realize what we're working toward and what's the cost. Well, the cost is Jesus paid it all. Hallelujah. But see, our freedom can choke us. We can forget our work. At some point this week, how many of you will go back to the job? You'll go back to work. You, at some point, either Wednesday or Thursday or something. Come on, let me see your hands. Okay. So, what if you just call in and say, hey, this is Freedom Week, I'm free. Huh? I'm just going to take the rest of the week, go ahead and pay me. Because I'm worth it. But hey, I'm free. So therefore, you know, I mean, this is Freedom Week. I'm celebrating. Don't be surprised if they would say to you, feel free to take the next one off. And maybe even the next one too. And take as many of them as you want, because you're no longer needed here. Because you see, we have tasks that we are expecting you to do. And the prize is that we'll pay you if you do those tasks. But if you do not want to do the task that we have assigned to you, then do not expect the prize at the end. Huh? You see, folks, we're not even living spiritually the way we live physically. We're saying, okay, you know, God's going to welcome me into His kingdom. No, I don't witness to people. I really don't have time for that. And I really don't have time for any service in the church or anything like that. I'm just such a busy, busy person doing my stuff here in this world. And then there's my fun that I got to have in there in the mix of it all. But you know what? When I walk into heaven, there's going to be a celebration like you wouldn't believe. My Bible says there are going to be a few folks that are going to hear the word, sorry, I never knew you. you don't have a burden for souls, it may be time to call out to the Lord, God, break my heart over those who are lost. I'm living my freedoms, and I'm forgetting that people are dying, and they're dying without you. Amen? There's incredible blessings in sowing the seeds of your faith among the world. I believe the Lord is wanting you to have those blessings. I'm wanting you to have those blessings. And folks, I mean this with all my heart. I want to see you gain the prize. I want to see you in heaven. I want to see you there gaining reward, gaining crowns of gold and hallelujah and all that He has for us. More than that, I want you standing and have people around you that are there because you cared enough to share the gospel of Jesus. One last question. How many of you believe that the Apostle Paul was concerned for souls? Huh? That was what it was all about for him. You see, he had been on the other side, and now he was on Jesus' side. And so he wanted to win as many people to the Lord as he could and disciple them into the kingdom. I think that's probably all of our tasks. Amen.